sometimes feel a little guilty because when I preach on Sunday morning, I basically tell you what I did all week, and then I pretend that's a sermon. And actually, this past weekend, I was at a place where it kind of touched my heart and soul because it's something Peggy's very involved in, but I was one of the workshop leaders. They were a little short of people, so they got desperate and invited me. But was the International Chicago Gamblers Anonymous Convention. Bunch of people that gathered in Oak Brook from all over the world. There were people from Sweden and Africa, Ireland, England, Mexico, and of course a whole bunch of people from Chicago. I know some of you are in 12-step programs, and so when you have a gathering, people introduce themselves. And to protect their privacy, they'll say, "My name is Dave M., and I'm a compulsive gambler." And then I come to me, and I'm Don B., and I'm a compulsive, like, Lutheran. You know, and I at first, when I started going to these functions a few years ago, I didn't feel like I belonged. But then I realized that I have all kinds of addictions. I'm addicted to myself a lot, addicted to my own journey, addicted to my own agenda, not to mention t-shirts, hats, and strong coffee. But there are things that I'm addicted to that get in the way of being as giving and as good as I should be. But you know, each one of us has a journey. You know, when you walk in here on Sunday or on a Thursday night, you bring your luggage and your baggage and what you're going through with you. And at least for a few moments on Sunday, no matter how much money you make or don't make or what you do for a living or what kind of mood you're in, for a few moments, we're at least bound together by God's Spirit and the human spirit. And the barriers kind of break down and we kind of celebrate the stuff that unites us. And as we gather here today, right in this room, I mean, there's some people in Texas. There's a guy in Hawaii, a lady in Austria, some people in Arizona and California, Toledo, Ohio. There's all kinds of people that join us from afar. And yet somehow that spirit that binds us together is a part of who we are today. When I think of my journey, and you can think of yours, I mean, nobody walks in your shoes. You're the only one that really knows what goes on inside the heart and soul of who you are. But I do know that as I get older, I'm getting a lot less religious, which I'm not sure is a good thing or a bad thing. But hopefully more spiritual. Blaming those back there. God, it's good to have you back. The last time I saw you, you were playing Santa Claus in our living room. But you know, it says on the LaGrange Road, All Saints Lutheran Church. And when somebody drives by there and they're Catholic or Methodist or Baptist, or maybe they don't go to church at all or Jewish, they probably figure, well, that church is not for me, and they drive by. And then underneath this week it says, the open door. To me, that's what it means to be Lutheran. Lutheran is about openness. And the door is open to whatever happens to be going on inside your heart and soul. So I had a workshop at this convention yesterday, and one of the guys gets up and as we're getting started, and he said, "By the way, I'm just curious, you're a minister, right?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, how do you decide what to say every Sunday? You said you've been doing it for 50 years. How do you decide?" And I tell him what I've told you many times, that my preaching professor came up to me on graduation day and he put his hand on my shoulder. And he said, "You know, Don, preaching is not as difficult as we think it is. Because you have a story. The people you talk to have a story. Jesus has a story. And when those three things come together, out pops a sermon. And that's all you got to do." And then, like I've told you before, he looked at me and he said, "Now, if you can't say that in 9 or 10 minutes, don't punish people with your ignorance." And so I mentioned that to my workshop. And then, so I start my talk on spirituality. And 9 minutes later, the guy gets up on the bed and says, "Okay, Borling, you're done." I go, talk about eating your own words. But it kind of lightened the load and brought us together. And you know, sometimes the gift of laughter is kind of liberating. So in the morning, they had a group that was going for a mile walk to raise some money for the GA program. And so I said, I'll go there. I mean, I could walk a mile with 10, 15 minutes, you know. So I got there, and we're walking, and there's this older lady. And she really walks slow. And so we're walking, and I turn around, and I see this lady walking way back there all by herself. Not complaining, just walking by herself. And I thought to myself, Don, what have you been preaching about all these years? Go back there and walk with her. And so I did. And it was interesting because, you know, after about 20, 25 minutes, I'm looking at my watch. And I go, Don, where do you have to be? You're in Oak Brook. There's nothing to do for 3 hours. And I just enjoyed, for once in my life, just being patient and walking with this older lady who had stories to tell. And then she said, you know, Reverend, I go to Mass every day. And I'm a Catholic and proud to be a Catholic. But she said, I have one thing to share with you, and you may have heard this before. She said, religion is for people who are afraid to go to hell. Spirituality is for people that have already been there. And I thought to myself, isn't that true? I mean, to some extent, all of us have been through one kind of hell or another. And sometimes religion can make you almost feel guilty for being there. Spirituality helps you step back and just suck in the winds of God's Spirit and maybe gives you the strength and the courage to get out of that hell that kind of drags you down. You know, someone mentioned to me the other day that, Don, you've been talking about the Bible more than usual. Well, that wouldn't take much. But I think of the two lessons for today that Sandy just read. 1 Thessalonians, where they say this, respect those who guide and instruct you, and be at peace among yourselves. Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient, and don't pay back wrong with wrong. Put everything to the test, and keep what is good, and avoid what is evil. Wouldn't that be nice? It's so simple and so basic. And then the gospel cuts at the very essence of who we are as God's people. It's judgment day. And there's people on the right and the left. And Jesus looks at the people on the right and says, come into my kingdom. And they said, well, why did you choose us? And Jesus says, well, when I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. When I was sick, you cared for me. When I had to go to prison, you visited me. And they said, no, we never did that. And Jesus said, whenever you did any of those to the least of my children, you were actually doing it to me. And the other part of that lesson, which was too long for Sandy to read, was on the other side, they didn't get invited in. And they said, why can't we come in? And Jesus said, well, when I was naked, you didn't clothe me. And when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was a stranger, you didn't let me into your home. And they said, we never did that. And Jesus said, whenever you didn't do that to the least of my children, you didn't do it to me. So true spirituality, it's not necessarily what you believe in, even though we believe in lots of things. But if you really believe in something, then you do it. And when you do it, when we do it, our beliefs come alive. Thursday is a day of Thanksgiving, a day to give thanks for the blessings that we have. And speaking of addictions, I'm addicted to trying to find God all the time because I want to have something to say on Sunday. That's not right. You got to step back and understand, we don't got to find God. God's already found us. We just need to be humble enough to step back and let him in. Amen. If you're able to, please rise for the creed.